Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. But no greater opportunity than to go, let's go 10,000 feet up and just talk on, in general, the vitality and necessity of technology and its role here in Greater Arizona. So what a pleasure to have Alex Rodriguez, who's the director of the Arizona Technology Council. Welcome to the show, Alex. How are you today?
Zara, I'm doing fantastic, and I want to congratulate you for a fantastic show.
Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you. We have fun. We have fun indeed here. Well, let me introduce Alex again. He's a native of Arizona. He earned his master's degree in public policy from Harvard University John F. Kennedy School of Government, with concentrations in international trade and finance, and also international security. He obtained his BA in political science from the University of Arizona and is a graduate of the New Mexico Military Institute. In fact, that Alex served our country in the ROTC, as well as went on to be an Army officer at 20 years of age. He also is a Woodrow Wilson Fellow, completing a rigorous public policy institute along that line. Alex has served on the board, a school board of the Tucson Unified School District. He served as board president, clerk, and member of the board. In 2006, he sought the office of representative in Arizona's 8th District, now the 22nd Congressional District, a seat eventually won by former Representative Gabrielle Giffords. Alex worked in a business development for three Fortune 500 companies, including Raytheon, a member of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations. He's also worked overseas at one of our embassies, as well as having some time, of course, internationally as a member of the U.S. Army. So, originally from Nogales High School and Hall of Fame, even in his alma mater, I had that distinction as well. Wasn't that a trip to go back?
It sure was.
Were you thinking of Hall of Fame at your high school?
I didn't know they had one.
It's scary when you start. They start bringing out the pictures of you when you were that
exactly
old. Oh, yeah, I would do the same.
A lot of fun.
And, of course, he's no new face here in Tucson. But, Alex, your role now is the director of Arizona Tech Council. There may be people out there, I think, most certainly, that aren't aware of what the Technical Council is all about. So give us the 101 overview.
Oh, sure. Sure, Sarah, and thank you so much for your introduction. So the Arizona Technology Council is the state's premier trade association for science and technology companies and all the other organizations that support science and technology companies. Essentially, we're the high-tech sector of the economy, and today we're at well over 750 members strong statewide. What that translates to is into literally hundreds of thousands of high-tech workers across the state. And so I have the privilege to lead the offices here in Southern Arizona, and it is a lot of fun.
And just the diversity, because you have a few very large companies, but actually a lot of startups and organizations trying to break into that business.
Yes, that's correct. Well, if you think of technology generally, you know, we're going through vast transformation in the economy globally. And so here in our own backyard, literally in our hometown, there's so much happening with respect to the use of technology to advance everything from micro businesses to, of course, the large-scale companies that everybody would recognize.
Sure. So that makeup of 750 members, I'm assuming that spans everything from startups to larger companies than across the state.
That's correct. We have a very strong entrepreneurial ecosystem involved with the tech sector. But frankly, we touch every major sector of the economy, but lead in a few areas such as semiconductors, aviation, aerospace, defense, high-tech manufacturing, the list goes on, telecommunications, information technology, and many others.
So as a trade association, then, this is obviously a one-stop shop, shall we say, for companies to come together and partner and collaborate, but also to serve an advocacy role.
Absolutely. That's one of the critical things that we do. In fact, one of the reasons I'm with you today is to discuss our 2014 public policy priorities that will will turn into legislation, and we hope into actual votes and eventual passage and adoption of these pieces of legislation.
So hit the high points of that policy, that proposal for 2014, and maybe what you could also tell us is maybe how it's changed over the last couple of years, too.
Sure. Well, what we've done is we have a very rigorous public policy committee, and as a trade association, we're a member-driven organization.
Right.
So we're really, truly filling the needs and wants of our membership base, and we believe it's representative of the state economy. And so what we feel would be game changers at the level of transformation, really impacting the state economy. You know, we're based on the five C's of the past, right? Citrus, copper, cattle, cotton, and climate.
Right.
And as you look at the future, there's a big element missing to that, and that is technology. And so these...
Although technology has penetrated all those areas, but they certainly aren't the vibrant economies of the past.
Indeed. In fact, you are absolutely right. In some of those areas have seen vast transformation. But with respect to the tech sector, if you will, as the leading voice there, we've come up with two critical pieces of legislation for this session. And one is in the area of taxation, and the other is in the area of capital formation.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because, of course, you know, it takes money to make things happen. And so the pieces of legislation deal with that issue.
And so the taxation legislation, we're looking for tax credits or investment credits?
Yes. In fact, it's something that's already on the books. This particular piece of legislation is the refundable research and development tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's a leading piece of legislation in the country. We stand out in that regard. $5 million are allocated annually to this program for research and development. The impact of that is very simple. Companies are able to literally receive a check in the mail by the state and be able to invest it or reinvest it in their research and development effort, as well as talent acquisition here in Arizona. And so the idea is very simple. Let's build on a very good model, because that $5 million dries up pretty quickly. It's on a first-come, first-served basis, Zara. So by April, the funds are already used up.
So. And are those funds set aside to support, you know, I know a popular conversation or ways to look at the buckets is to talk about clusters.
Yes.
So you have biotech, you have solar, you have
exactly
et cetera,
right.
et cetera, et cetera. So does that govern then the doling out of that fund?
What typically happens, frankly, it's on a first-come, first-served basis.
Irrespective
so
of what's
active. So it's irrespective, yeah. It's companies that really have their act together that want and have a specific purpose for their R&D effort, or their strategy plan around R&D, and they can tap into the source to be able to fund that. So what we're proposing in this legislative session is to double, then triple the $5 million to a $10 and $15 million fund by 2016.
The goal being, obviously, is that's an incentive to entice other companies to come here or to retain companies, you know, to continue to invest in our communities.
Yes, it's more in the area of retention. And in fact, it's a great segue to the second piece of legislation, which is also about attraction, as you mentioned. And that's the in the area of capital formation. One of the things that I love about our state and truly here in Southern Arizona, there's so much buzz around the entrepreneurial ecosystem. A lot happening there. A lot of people, especially in the younger generations, too, stepping up and launching their own businesses. But clearly, one thing that that people need in order to be successful is financial resources, right? Here's what happens. Actually, it's a problem that we're trying to fix. The state of Arizona is surrounded by states that already have a venture capital fund
mm-hmm.
that's highly effective. It works for their states. It's helping them promote economic development and new starts and entrepreneurship. So we have a gap in Arizona. And the gap is that companies start here in our own community and in Phoenix and other parts of the state. But because early in their life cycle, they need working capital to continue to grow
sure.
after that formation. they look around and they don't. We don't have venture capital firms in the state. I think we only have two that are involved, and those are limited funds. So there's a big gap. And I know of at least 8 companies that were born here by Arizona talent that are now operating nationally or globally, mm-hmm. but they're no longer in Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
And the reason why they left, Zara, was because they didn't have access to capital.
Right.
And so what we're proposing in the session, and we're bringing it back from last year. We had very good support last year, but we think we can finally get it done in this session, is the creation of a $50 million fund that would be administered by the Arizona Commerce Authority.
You know, and both of these, which, by the way, has gone through its own round of change, the Arizona Commerce Authority.
That's correct.
So, you know, that's exactly leadership change mindset. But both of these things, some of our listeners might be saying, well, that's just chump change at a day like this in terms of what it takes to fund and start. And true, but what you're really talking about is planting the seeds for a major mindset change.
Yes.
Because with those types of resources, it suddenly attracts others to bring a similar, if not much greater, investment mentality, whether that be investment in facilities or talent or education, to accelerate growth.
That's why I need you on the Tucson Ambassadors for the Arizona Technology Council.
Oh, boy, I feel like it's sign right here. It's coming
yes.
next.
Very well articulated. In fact, what this will help do is jumpstart bringing venture capital to Arizona from other states, which there's a multiplier effect to the $50 million fund, which, by the way, has an evergreen impact to it, because as these early stage companies excel and we create our next Intel or our next any number of companies that are large today, they started somewhere, right? And so we want to support those companies that are born here in Arizona, and that venture capital will come to the state.
Well, there's another piece about this mindset side, and that would be is mm-hmm. that we don't necessarily need these to be big companies or even medium-sized company. Quite honestly, there's a lot of us out here who aren't necessarily young, myself included, that with my husband we've supported, started a firm, and we're all about what we call social manufacturing. In other words, want zero overhead. We really don't want the overhead, although and
yes.
it comes probably from our years of running big organizations in other states, I will readily admit.
Uh-huh.
But this idea that we can enable jobs within other people's organizations by weaving them in new ways together for new products.
Yes.
And so that, though, still is right at the core of what the Arizona Tech Council is about.
Absolutely.
Because it's still about that mindset of growth and accelerating opportunities that feed the community, that support our state. Now, here's the other hook, though, that Ted and I have found striking here, is that still a lot of people think you have to keep it 100% within the borders of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful about that, because
right.
the rest of the world doesn't operate that way anymore.
That's absolutely true. As a matter of fact, we have members of the Tech Council, literally walking distance from where we're at now, that their focus is internationally.
Sure.
They don't have
exactly.
any clients in Tucson
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
even in the state of Arizona. But they're here in our community, and they're bringing in revenue
sure.
to Arizona. So it's really an exciting time to see that happen. Frankly, I thought I had a fairly good grasp of our local economy. Until I took this job. There are many, many companies that operate just how you indicated. They're smaller, but they have fantastic technology, fantastic market niche area that they're really excelling in and bringing in multiple millions of dollars to our community. But they sort of kind of fly under the radar.
And we like it that way, by the way. That maybe at least for the
that
time being.
That could be good.
It could be good for at least for the time being. So, in fact, that's where I was going to go to my next question. You set me up this time, Alex, and that is, here you are, having served our U.S. served us in an embassy, served us overseas in the military, and here you are leading a technical trade association. What's up with that? How does that happen? I think you're a voracious learner. You love crossing boundaries.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the elements of advocacy, you know, being in the political jet stream up in Maricopa County periodically, I'm sure.
It's such a fun job. It was hard to say no
fun.
To. Frankly, what happened was the opportunity sort of came to me through a board
one.
Member, and I just looked at it and saw the potential of it, the impact. And for example, one of the things that we highlight through membership with the Arizona Technology Council, Zara, is these companies that we just discussed. We actually have After 5 Tech Mixer events at the companies, yeah, at the locations. And so our members get to see the technology, the innovation, the manufacturing. They meet the C-level folks. They learn the story behind the story. And it's a real joy. Pretty soon, after you've done several or quite a few of these around the community, you really see the strength and the pillar of the tech sector in this economy.
And well, I would think particularly for a number of our leaders that, you know, where you're surviving day in and day out trying to keep your company is a growing concern,
yep,
that you can fall into an isolated state, yep, thinking you're the only one that has this problem.
Yes.
And realize, whoa, wait a minute, there's a community of us, and maybe 1 + 1 + 1 can equal 50 if we figure out how to share ideas and lean on one another.
In fact, this week we were at Data Fourth Corporation, where we had our final holiday mixer, and this is a fantastic company, electronics manufacturing, spinoff from the Burr Brown days, and years later, and many, many employees later, they have a fantastic operation here in Tucson. But what was fascinating to witness is the cross-pollination between engineers and business leaders from other companies and them, and the stories that they share with each other while we're doing the tour of the manufacturing facility. So there's a tremendous amount of professional growth and development that happens at our event.
For the individuals that participate, let alone for the
exactly
ideas I can tell.
Sure.
I know that one of my clients who's joined the technical council recently has always, you know, felt, you know, somebody had a, you know, a tight finger on his juggler when it came to a certain type of engineering resources. And lo and behold,
yes,
another technical council member loaned him some of his talent because they had a downswing in some of their business.
That's remarkable.
And then
I
advise my client, though, but be careful, you can't steal them, though.
Yeah.
You can't keep them. All right?
That's right.
He says, yeah, I kind of know that's the game. But
exactly.
But that's this, again, this idea, the mindset, the sharing, the openness.
Yes.
When not all the areas within the United States have necessarily grown that way.
That's correct.
The power of Silicon Valley when there's that open idea sharing and mixing.
Yes.
That model can work.
We're building
here.
Community. We're,
right,
we're trying to impact the economy overall with better jobs and so forth. And really, it's at the individual level. Recently, we held a Tucson Tech and Business Expo, mm-hmm, where manufacturing and technology connect. And that was extremely powerful because it allowed companies to, they had a platform by which they were able to engage and communicate and share best practices and leading ideas and new market strategies for additional client and revenue growth.
And don't you find many times, Alex, that these type of events are really more of trying to level the playing field and level up a common language so people can understand one another?
Absolutely. That's
yeah,
a very big part of it.
Yeah.
So we welcome everybody to join at the same time. You don't have to be part of a tech company or even be in a technical organization. The whole point that we're trying to do is help impact the local economy by leapfrogging and utilizing technology for innovation purposes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So what do you think some of the common keep me up at night things that you hear from your members or about them?
Well, it's always issues around finances. That's a big deal right now.
What about talent? Because I know you have a real passion and a legacy of contributing in the schools area in K-12.
That's correct. I'm glad you mentioned that because it's part of our platform and the 2014 public policy priorities. We're actually very, very involved in the area of education. Right now we have a problem, and the problem is actually growing. Frankly, as the economy is turning and it starts heating up eventually, already we're witnessing a gap of technically skilled, yeah, both labor and even professional at the professional level. So we're very involved in science, technology, engineering, mathematics. We're trying to improve that whole area of STEM. The Arizona Technology Council has partnered with a number of organizations. We help put on the Arizona SciTech Festival, mm-hmm, every year, mm-hmm, which inspires the little ones.
Exactly.
All the way
catch
up to
young.
Exactly, and there's others as well that the whole idea is to have a much stronger, better enabled, diverse workforce that can quickly jump into higher paying jobs that require some level of technology.
That's right. And if I could insert another letter in the stem, and that's the letter A, because a lot of people around the nation are recognizing this, the concept of STEAM, meaning the term A meaning the arts.
For the arts, absolutely.
And if you look at a place that's already embedded and has that richness, we've already had that in Arizona.
Yes.
And all sorts of variety of artists, artist thinking, people that have been drawn to live in Tucson because it's an alternative lifestyle. There's the A word again, alternative arts. That I think that there's a lot more we could play right into and capitalize on versus feel like we have to excuse or oversight.
There's no question. We are rich in the arts area, in Southern Arizona in particular, but I think even statewide, we just attract the arts.
And so the opportunity is, though, then for organizations to recognize how to capitalize on that artistic bend, maybe if it's not within the four walls of the organization, but how they could partner and come up with really that whole word of innovation comes from people bringing a different mindset to the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are in support of that. And I like the concept of STEAM as opposed to just STEM.
Say that from the standpoint, because I opted to go to engineering school, and it was between that and art school.
Is that right?
You know, so I know I've always got the artist, and it actually drove my engineering mindset, I think, at the same time. And I see that amongst others, but many times it gets crowded out.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's very true.
Well, the other piece of it, of course, is the generally statewide, and I know, again, this is something you're personally passionate about, having been involved with TUSD, is really then how do we get the nuts and bolts changed and enabled within our education system to be able to attract employees, let alone retraining people or in the trades, not just at the university level. So that whole portfolio is important. And I think, at least my experience has been, come from other states, is not until business steps in and takes the steering wheel is it really going to drive significant change.
So let me speak to that point a little bit. There's the Joint Technology Education District, otherwise known to people as JTED. Think of it as a super district. There's, I think, at least 11 school districts involved now in JTED, maybe more by now. That was when we first passed it, when I was on the school board. And JTED is focused in the area of career and technical education. And that's vastly important to our members for talent acquisition. Very, very important. It's the traditional vocational area matched with today's modern technology. And you know, this is the knowledge economy that we're entering now. And so career and technical education plays a vital role. What we've done with Tech Council members is try to match them with teachers and the curriculum that they're teaching in the classroom so that it matches real-world requirements.
That's absolutely. It's relevant. So then our young people are more prepared. But also our companies are more wise to understand what it looks like in assimilating the new generation of workers as well. It's a different game than perhaps what they played in the past.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, Alex, thank you so very much. It's been a real pleasure. We've been speaking with Alex Rodriguez. He's currently the director of the Arizona Technical Council, emanating from here in southern Arizona, but playing statewide with what you do. Thank you very much. I also quick point that he's also involved from a leadership standpoint, a book that Alex wrote with Brian Tracy called Business Strategies for Explosive Growth in the New Economy, The Counterattack. We love it. Very good. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Zara, thank you. It was
collaborating.
My privilege.
And I think you may indeed get me to sign on the bottom line.
Outstanding.
So thank you.
All right. Another new member. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.